Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
And this hour, the program brought to you by Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars. Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars are the indulgent break you deserve in your day. Have you tried the dark chocolate, peanut, and almond flavor? Now that is a sit on the dock and take a moment kind of bar. Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars. It is 10 minutes after 4. Shut up, Phil. 10 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Phil, of course, refers to Phil Kennedy in the next room. And one of these stories that basically was a wow factor here at the radio station is the secretary to the Bishop of Buffalo, Richard Malone, the secretary, Father Richard Biernat. Another surprising development, this is from WBEN.com, from within the hierarchy of the Diocese of Buffalo today, as the Reverend Richard Biernat consented to take a leave of absence from his position as secretary to the bishop and vice chancellor for personal reasons. This leave is for an undetermined length of time. The release of this statement today was out of respect for Father Biernat's request to delay this announcement until he had the opportunity to confer with his legal counsel. Last year, Biernat told a congregation at St. John the Baptist Church he was the victim of sexual abuse by a priest himself, but gave no details. Whistleblower Siobhan O'Connor was on this program, and she said, "It was a privilege to work with Father Richard Biernat for 3 years. I'm a better person and a stronger Catholic because of him. Since I am no longer privy to the inner workings of the chancery, I can only note that the diocese's cryptic statement makes it clear that this is a highly unusual situation. Whatever is going on in there, I can tell you one thing. I have total trust in Father Richard's selfless commitment to the priesthood, our diocese, and our Lord. Father Richard's name is Polish for Richard, which means I worked closely with two Richards during my time in the chancery. One of them I trust with my whole heart. The other is Bishop Malone." Words of Siobhan O'Connor in her statement regarding this situation. So, question to you on WBEN, is it time for the Bishop of Buffalo to resign? And I must defer to your judgment because most of you are of the Roman Catholic faith. I am not. And I think that you have a better perspective on such a question than would I, because it is your faith. It is where you choose to worship on Sunday, or the culture, the hierarchy with which you feel the most comfortable. And Bill in Eden is on the line, taking some exception with some of the things Siobhan O'Connor said when she was on this show just a short while ago. Moving forward, Bill, there were other things you wanted to say before we had to break for the news.
Yeah, just to summarize. So basically, Siobhan, who'd worked as the executive assistant to the bishop, sent a glowing email, you know, praising the bishop, and then after that went on 60 Minutes, which was a shock, and she had taken the confidential information and shared it with the local Channel 7 reporter, and then mentioned all that on 60 Minutes. And after that, you know, the bishop was in an airport, and Michael Voris from some Catholic kind of other group was there following him with his camera and harassing the bishop through the whole length of the concourse. I don't like seeing my bishop, you know, attacked like that. And I was actually in the Catholic Center for lunch the day after that 60-minute story hit. I could still remember, I was sitting at the table with the bishop. The poor guy looked like he was just sucker-punched after all that. I don't like seeing that. And then I saw also that Siobhan was on Nightline. And amazingly, in there, she said that she felt, what was it that she said there? I'm just trying to think in the back of my mind that, sorry, Tom, I just got a little, I've been thinking so much of a lot of the different things with this, but...
Maybe it will come back to you. When you heard the news that Father Richard, the personal secretary to the bishop, was stepping aside, taking a leave of absence, did that hit you like a ton of bricks, like it hit many of us like a ton of bricks?
It was surprising, but I mean, like you also reported, maybe, and Tom, you like to be the detective, and we like to do like William of Ockham. You don't have to necessarily jump and say, like, wow, this has to do something with the bishop itself. What if Father Richard, like your story mentioned on the news there, had admitted being abused or something? What if he's actually going to pursue that legally and doesn't feel that he should be in this position as the bishop's secretary to do that? What if it's no more than that? That's what came to my mind right away.
It could be something like that. It could be a multiplicity of things. I mean, some people are saying, well, maybe this means Father Richard is going to be a whistleblower. Some people might believe that perhaps this is Father Richard saying, oh, maybe I should have passed information on to the seminary that I didn't pass on to the bishop. At this point, any conjecture would simply be that conjecture. And the one thing we don't have, which I always like to have, are the facts.
Yeah, and I know Father Richard, too, and he's awesome. I like him as well. I like the bishop, too, and that thing did come back to my mind what it was. From the Nightline interview, she said that she wished, and they showed the bishop this, they had her interview, and he was watching it. And she says, I think that the Bishop Malone should be in jail. And you could see how visibly shaken and how terribly hurt he was when he saw her say that. And then she said, oh, but I would go and visit him. I'm thinking, like, who in the H-E double hockey sticks do you think you are to talk to the bishop like that? When you had, like, on your Brendan Keeney there, had the interview with Siobhan, she said there in WBEN story, she was urging the bishop not to file for bankruptcy. And she says, don't do that to escape discovery. There's going to be discovery in the life to come, and it would be better for you if it began in this life. I'm thinking, like, who are you to lecture the bishop like that? She's standing there in pictures from WBEN with that protest with the two other people holding this sign saying Diocese of Blackmail. And the other interview that she had was on this site called Whistleblower Insiders, Whistleblower of the Year. And it was published on March 18th of this year, which coincidentally happens to be the day before the bishop's birthday. So I'm thinking it just doesn't seem right to me. And just, you know, the last thing I wanted to mention on that before I just get back to regarding the bishop and the diocese was when we talk about, like, our divine mercy, Jesus had spoken with St. Faustina, and the things he mentioned to her were that obedience was important. And there were just a little quote that I wanted to mention, and I wanted Siobhan to prayerfully consider that, maybe like pray a novena, divine mercy, and just trying to, like, listen to what the Lord is saying to you. Jesus said to St. Faustina, my daughter, know that you give me greater glory by a single act of obedience than by long prayers and mortifications. And I remember from the original story when she'd asked the bishop about these things, he said, that's none of your concern. I mean, the obedient thing to be would have been like, well, just kind of give the bishop the benefit of the doubt or talk to him, you know, privately on that instead of going to the media. Because the other quote here, just, you know, for what it's worth, where Jesus said, I've granted the grace you asked for on behalf of that soul, but not because of the mortification you chose for yourself. Rather, it was because of your act of complete obedience to my representative that I granted this grace. So it's important for us to be obedient. And like I mentioned in the last hour, Tom, I looked at the Diocese of Buffalo's response to all this. They're maintaining their buffalodiocese.org/protection. And one of the articles in there, which I thought and I agree with, was a nice article which was by Father Dennis Mancuso about why Bishop Malone should stay. And basically, and I agree with him, he gives three main reasons. He says, with Bishop Malone, we can move forward. Without him, we're stuck in this for at least another 2 years because of the way things would go. If he was removed or resigned, nothing would really happen. You wouldn't have any leader here for at least a couple of years. And the bishop is almost to the mandatory retirement age. He's 73 now. He also, Father Dennis Mancuso in this article mentions, the bishop's already made many necessary changes that will bear fruit in greater accountability. And if you look at the diocesan website, you'll see all these different things. I'm not going to expand on them here, but there are more things there that most people even realize. He says we moved further in the last 6 months than in the last 10 years under Bishop Malone's leadership. And then Father Mancuso finishes, and he says he knows from his own personal knowledge of Bishop Malone, humbled and tried in the crucible of our recent difficulties, that he has the spiritual and moral character to lead us beyond this. And I agree with that.
And there's been nothing that has happened in the last few days regarding the seminary or accusations made by some of the former seminarians that has made you do a double take or has made you maybe have a reassessment of your opinion?
Actually, no, Tom. And as we grow, I guess, more in our faith and everything, we know that the Holy Spirit tends to put us in places where we can see things that we might not otherwise know. I guess, without really getting into too much of what I might know or not know at this point, I would have to say, regarding these seminarians, did I see something on WBEN that one of them might have been under academic probation? How does that relate? We have to ask questions like that. And remember the article, the story that you mentioned, I think even with Liz from Grand Island. A shout out. Hi, Liz. You rock out there. And God bless you, too. Thank you for the kind words last week. But regarding, like, the priests in Hamburg, how many of the seminarians that, you know, brought that to light have anything to do with these two seminarians that are leaving the seminary? Are they similar? Are they known by them? Are they the same people? Do they have any kind of axe to grind? Anything like that. And I understand that, obviously, the importance of the charges. But, I mean, it's one thing, you know, we've even seen this politically, it's one thing to make allegations, even terrible allegations, but it's another them to go through with, and the bishop has actually responded to all of these in time. But, I mean, when you hit someone with an allegation right away, you need some time to actually get a good response to it.
Well, it is going to be very, very interesting, to put it mildly, to find out exactly what the story is behind this leave of absence by a guy who is so beloved by so many people within the Diocese of Buffalo, and that is Father Richard. Bill, anything else that you want to say that we didn't specifically ask you about? I'll have to put you on hold until after the break on WBEN. It is Bowerly and Bellavia. David will be back for some shows at the end of this month and also the beginning of September. After that, we shall see exactly what the story is. That frees up a line, by the way, at 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Is it time for the bishop, in the words of the Immortal Clash, should the bishop stay or should he go at this point? Are you still up in the air, which is an entirely valid opinion to have? Now, let's just wrap things up with Bill in Eden on WBEN. Bill, anything you wanted to say that I did not specifically get into with you?
Yeah, just the very last thing here was when I went to Mass today, the homily was very topical. And the priest said, you know, why does God allow all these things to happen? And basically he gave the theological answer, which is ponderable, which is because God is love. And things will work out in the end because God is love. And I have to say that that's how I'll end this. And just to end on a whimsical note here, I'll have to get my emotional support dust bunny and and ponder whether Bishop Malone uses plastic straws or not.
Yeah, we did. That was the whole show, whether it was going to be plastic straws, recyclables, and how hot or cold you keep your house. And then all the news started happening about Father Richard, and obviously we had to do a quick about face. Bill, thank you very much for the call. Let's move on to somebody with a different opinion. This is John on WBEN. John, it is your turn. Thanks for your patience.
You know, when I get looking at a complex situation like this, I'd like to revert back to the old KISS approach, and I don't mean the rock band. Huh. I mean, keep it simple, stupid. Cut out all the speculation. Cut out all the what-ifs. Go to the facts. The facts are this bishop was in Boston in the early 2000s when everything blew up there, 2001, 2003. All the sexual pedophile situations in Boston came to light. He was in the diocesan office. He was in an administrative position at the diocese level. He was in the middle of that. He then goes to Portland. He is now the bishop in Portland. He encounters the same situation in Portland. Now you come to Buffalo. The man has been through this twice. He knows what works. He knows what doesn't work, right? What happens here? Oh, we've got an all-encompassing list of 30 names. 2 months later, oh, we've got a revised all-encompassing list. Then we have a revision to the revision. We've gone from 30 to over 100. The man, the perception from the average Catholic sitting here is he is being deceptive or he is ignorant and incompetent. Take your choice. He needs to be out of here. The only way we're ever going to have confidence in the administrative function that allowed this to perpetuate for decades, 80% at least of all of these activities against the children were perpetuated by bishops. Why do you think 20 dioceses are already in bankruptcy? They perpetuated the damn crime by not calling these people on the carpet, sending them to the civil authorities, and getting them out of the church. And now we're supposed to have confidence in what this guy has been feeding us? No, Tom. He should be out of here. Someone needs to come in here who understands how to get all the rotten apples off the tree and stomp them into the ground.
John, was there ever a time when you did have confidence that Bishop Malone might be the guy by virtue of the fact that he has been through situations like this before?
When it started to come, I said, look, this guy's got the experience and the background in it. He'll handle it like they handled Tylenol, you know, just like that guy did at the beginning of the show. No, he didn't. He perpetuated what the other ones have done. And you can say, okay, he's either being deceptive or he's incompetent or he's just a fool. I don't care what you take.
So as a devout confidence, or as a devout Catholic, your trust and faith in the bishop and his ability or willingness to do the right thing, this is an understatement, is severely compromised.
Tom, he's standing in the middle of the fire all around him.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't even smell the smoke, let alone see the flames.
I would be delighted to talk with you further after the news. If you have additional things that you would like to say, we have obviously people who want to talk about this. Yeah, welcome to the show. Serious topic today. Off the serious side, Phil Kennedy did ask me during the news break, Tom, how many times a week do you actually eat clams? And I thought about it for a second, and I realized that it usually is about 5 times a week during the summer, Phil, just so you know. And you were curious about the affordability. And the affordability is you buy the bags. You know, buy the bags from your favorite seafood store or your favorite grocery store, which has a seafood department, and you cook them that way. And the key, by the way, Phil, to any successful clam bake is to be sure that you have enough clams for all of the mouths there are to feed, because we're having an 8-person clam bake on Sunday where I will be in charge of cooking the clams with Mrs. Nerd's little broth there. And I'm trying to calculate how many clams each person is going to eat. And I've come to the conclusion I'll probably have to buy about 3,000 clams. It is 538, and that's just for me. 538 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show. We get serious again. Obviously, we have had reports of situations going on at the seminary involving sexual harassment, involving unwanted pursuit, involving all courts, all kinds of shenanigans. And then today, you know, I was all set to do a show on East Aurora and plastic straws and whether you recycle and how hot you keep your home in the wintertime and how cool you keep it in the summertime. And the entire station was like kindling. It just went up like tinder when the word hit that Father Richard Burnett, who had been the personal secretary to Bishop Malone, had asked for and is taking a leave of absence from that position. And obviously, asking you guys at this point, is it time, do you believe, for the bishop to resign? Does this not change things in any way, shape, or form? Do you have confidence as Catholics that this bishop is the guy who is going to be able to get the diocese through whatever challenges it faces? Or have you lost faith in the personnel able to do that job? One line is open at 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Back to John in Tonawanda, who says the bishop needs needs to go. He was open-minded at first, John was, but it does no longer believes that the bishop is going to be able to get the job done. John?
One quick example on that, and then I'd like to make a comment about the seminary. On the Bishop Malone's awareness of what his reality is, it was in the paper that Gatto, who had had numerous disgusting accusations against him, was assigned to St. Christopher's Parish in Tonawanda. As several days later, he was suddenly unassigned and was going off to some unknown, indefinite, who knows what, assignment, but he was out of there. It was not because of Malone. It was because the parishioners rose up and said, "Are you kidding me? We do not want this person near our children, near our school, in our parish. He needs to go. The school will close because our children will no longer go there. The parish will be in deep financial trouble because we will not support it." And several leaders of that parish, and I'm not a member of that parish, just so I'm clear on that, They went down to New York City, and they had a conference with the cardinal and said, "Cardinal Dolan, this is the reality of what will happen. And this is how blind our bishop is. And that is why we're not talking to him about this. We're talking to you. And you are the only one who can straighten this out." Several days later, Gatto was gone. That's how blind he does. Like I said, he's surrounded by fire. He does not even smell the smoke.
And this comes from somebody who thought at one point you had confidence in his ability to do so. Obviously, that confidence no longer exists with you.
That's true.
And would you say that this is, I mean, obviously, we do tend to hang out with people who tend to see the world in the same way as we see the world. Is this the majority opinion in your circle of friends?
I'm not a friend with Bill from Eden, so I would say yes.
All right. Well, John, thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
Can I make one more comment about the seminaries? This is.
Oh, yeah. You said you were going to. Go right ahead.
Yeah. There is a book. It's called Goodbye, Good Men by Michael Rose. And this book came out in 2002, and it documents how liberals brought corruption into the Catholic Church. Tom, it documents what happened in the seminaries, and what you are hearing about the seminary here, that's been going on for decades, decades. And this book brings it all out, but nobody pays attention to it. The people in the bureaucracy of the church don't pay any attention to it. It's like the Beltway down in Washington. They care nothing about their outside their bureaucracy.
Well, would you call it a swamp? would you go far as to call it a swamp?
Well, 20 dioceses have been declaring bankruptcy.
Right.
It is insidious throughout the diocesan structure. It's not in the lower structure. It's not with the people. It's not with the majority of the priests who are out there day to day. But that diocesan structure, as I said, 80 or 90% of the pedophile cases would never have happened if the administration of the diocese stopped it on the first ripple of occurrence. Instead, this person's up in Niagara Falls. Let's send them down to Springville. Those people don't talk to each other, and we'll see if he'll do better down there. Instead of calling the cops, it's the structure up at the diocesan level, yes, that has been corrupted, that has caused this self-inflicted. It's been a self-inflicted destruction.
And what's it done to your faith? Obviously, you're very, very involved in matters Catholic. What has it done to your faith?
I think two days ago Sunday, I came out of church and I said, "I'm not going back." I just could not take the hypocrisy that I was hearing in the homily. I just couldn't stand it anymore.
Was there a specific line that illustrated the hypocrisy that our listeners might be interested in?
Yeah, but I can't get into that because that'll identify things.
All right, I understand from where you're coming. John, again, thank you for the call. Appreciate your input.
Thanks for the opportunity, Tom.
803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Some of you believe the bishop should resign. Some of you say that he should stay on as bishop. Here is Mike in Gettysville on WBEN. Mike.
Yeah, just kind of a statement, Tom. Not doubting that there were victims, but if this whole thing is about justice and healing, I would presume that all the attorneys are working pro bono.
Well, that obviously they're not working pro bono any more than I work pro bono or that Phil works pro bono. Pro bono, by the way, means free, and the full expression is pro bono publico.
No, got that. But that's why when I hear the attorneys get in front of the camera and say that this whole thing's about justice and healing, I guess that's kind of what runs through my mind.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before on the program, and unfortunately, money is the only, you know, we all recognize that money has value, that currency has value, and it's the only thing that we really have with which we can with which we can compensate people. I mean, we can't give people their innocence back. We can't take away people's bad memories. All we can do is compensate them with, you know, something that is recognized as a universal form of exchange, i.e. legal tender.
And you don't think that there's any jumping on the bandwagon, you know, a little bit of Brett Kavanaugh, prove it isn't true going on here again?
Oh, I don't know to what extent there is and isn't. It would depend solely on, you know, the facts presented and the strengths of the facts and the ability to prove the facts.
Got it.
I mean, is it possible there could be some bad wagon stuff going on? Absolutely. Is it possible that people are lying? Absolutely. But a responsible attorney is not going to take on a client that, you know, they can't make a case with. There are too many cases with which you can make a case, so you don't have to bring in the ones that are dubious. In an ideal world, and I guess the world isn't ideal.
Well, thanks for that.
All right. Well, thank you for the call on the WBEN. Yeah, I mean, we all recognize money has value, and if it would be possible to, you know, give somebody their innocence back, that would be ideal. But unfortunately, in this world in which we live, we have a medium of exchange, a currency, which is, you know, it's the only thing we can do for people, and it is tawdry. But unfortunately, and I hate this expression as much as you guys do, it is what it is. And if there was a better way, there was a better way. But there ain't no better way, at least not one that I can see. Here is Cecilia on WBEN in Hamburg. You are on Bowerly and Bellavia. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. And I just want to say this on behalf of all Catholics. You know, there's always going to be the sinners. But as Catholics, there's only one thing. I just heard that gentleman say, and that's what inspired me to call. He said he came out of church and he didn't want to go back. The same thing I've had CCD students say that to me too. Mrs. Pierce, I don't even want, and I say, look, concentrate on the saints in the church. Never mind the sinners. They're not going to get you any place. Concentrate on the saints. That's what you have to do. That's all I have to say.
How difficult must it be for a young person today to focus on the positives with so many negatives happening just about every single day, whether we're talking about the seminary or a possible negative of the bishop's personal secretary taking this leave of absence?
Well, you know, I don't know what's going on down there in the chancery, and neither do you and neither does anybody else unless they're already down there. And, you know, if we don't have enough trust in God to clean up this mess. I mean, a lot of times, let's face it, you're not going to get rid of a blister unless it breaks open. Sometimes garbage has to break open before you can clean it up and stop it.
All right, thank you. I mean, we've certainly heard from a number of people who have strong opinions on this from within the church calling in on the program today and certainly on previous programs. You know, it's kind of funny because we talk a little bit on the program here and there about Sunday fun day, but if you can also make Monday a fun day, you're one step ahead toward the next weekend. I know it sounds oxymoronic, but Mondays can be a fun day. It all depends on your attitude. Here is Bill in Williamsville on WBEN. Bill, is it time for the bishop to stay? Is it time for the bishop to go? What's your take on all this stuff going on within the church?
Tom, I know you're very well-read and worldly, I believe.
Well, worldly, maybe not so well-read.
But, you know, it just, come on, there's so much smoke. There's got to be fire. Understandably, you know, Bishop Malone's not 100% involved. This stuff goes back for I'm going to say centuries. You know, it's got to be for centuries. Look at the Pope in the 10th century, the perversion and this and that. It's The reason I called was that guy, every time he calls, Mr. Holier Than Thou, and I know he drives you nuts too, Tim, because you mentioned it before that, you know, he's not going to convert you. He's not going to do this and that.
No, but Bill in Eden, he's not going to drive me nuts.
Yeah, but
I'm already there.
He's just, you know what I'm saying. He's just, it wouldn't matter.
Well, he's a very devout Catholic, and as such, he is certainly entitled to his very devout Catholic opinion.
It is, and it's just, but when you look at stuff, like in the last week, we had 100 cases filed in a very short amount of time. I mean, is this all make-believe? Is this stuff, he doesn't see any of this? And then for him to, the holy hockey sticks and this and that, and he knows, I don't know what his deal is. I got to look into the guy more and do a little bit of research on him, but it's like there's nothing wrong with the Catholic Church that Bishop and any of the laity that can around the local Buffalo area can do. Whether he was molested himself, I don't know, and this is his way of propping up self-importance, self-indulgence. Maybe he's going to fit, but you know, living by the law, which is the old Jewish faith, the law, the law, the law. Times have changed. Times have changed, and he says the word love. You know, love, yeah, love conquers all. I truly believe that Jesus came to earth based on that to absolve us of all of our sins. But it's just, you know, again, the Catholic, I'm a recovering Catholic, by the way. I'm a Christian. And it's just, when I hear this stuff, sometimes it just fries me because it's like no matter what. It's kind of like the left wing of the media. It doesn't matter if Trump was standing there with Jesus Christ and curing lepers right in front of and the White House, it wouldn't make a difference. They would still have something to say.
Well, no, I mean, and I will tell you that, you know, in all fairness, doing this show and for as long as I've done it, or shows similar to it for as long as I've done it, there are people who are extremely very, very, very devout Catholics. There are people like yourself who will describe themselves as recovering Catholics. And then there are people, you know, in the middle, the great middle, if you will, who go to church on Sunday and stay out of diocesan politics or diocesan controversies as best as they can, and just try to do the best they can in life.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the devil is out there. I think the devil's thriving. He's having a ball. He was given domain over the earth, but truly, and he can't do anything to you unless you give him permission. But it's just this guy. No, just I don't know. It's kind of like Dan. Dan, the guy the liberal guy that Tom, you know, he calls in and he's friendly with everybody, and you know, but yet under the guise of his speech, you know, he's kind of saying, you know, no matter what, it's like you guys are all wrong. I'm a Democrat, I know it. Things are, hey, I don't know. I'm just saying that it's just, come on, there's got to be something going on, and I think Malone definitely should step down and say, okay, I did my best. God bless you guys.
All right, Bill, thank you very much for the call on News Radio 930 WBEN. And, you know, thanks to everybody for all your opinions and stories and everything like that. And it's obviously been a very busy breaking news day with more to come with Tom Puckett at News Radio 930 WBEN coming up at 6 o'clock.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.